This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasooli Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Fa'audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Innallaha ma'as sabirin. Wa qala ta'ala: واذكر عبادنا إبراهيم وإسحاق ويعقوب أولي الأيدي والأبصار وإسماعيل واليسع وكل من الأخيار. So my dear brothers and sisters are not here anyway, inshallah. We have to remember them as well. So, alhamdulillah, we spent few days in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and today inshallah we are going to leave this city with the intention to come back again, inshallah. So always when you leave the city of Medina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always make intention, oh Allah, make me to come back here again. This should not be our last journey. You know, many, many more journeys to come, inshallah, as long as we are alive. And we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made us to spend time actually nicely here. You know, because of these classes, what happens is, you know, you can see all the time you're busy. Very little sleep, no time for shopping, no time for walking around. Because if you don't have these classes, because 3 hours in the morning and then afternoon classes, you know, if you don't have these classes, then what you will do in this time? Either sleeping or walking around. So these classes actually, at least they have saved our time from any wasting. And second thing, alhamdulillah, we are learning. And make sure that whatever you learn, write it down. Because sometimes we can see really some of the sentences that teachers teach, you can think maybe it is very simple, but sometimes they are, you know, result of, you know, long reflections and you know, a lot of learning, you know, so it will benefit you inshallah in the future when you teach, and also when you reflect yourself, it will be helpful. So whatever you have been learning, you know, take notes. You know, don't think that, you know, I know it anyway, because you will forget so easily. So and in these classes, like, you know, tafsir class and the 40 hadith, you know, and even the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the way I was teaching seerah, it is not, you know, just dates and, you know, it actually more how to take lessons from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to make the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more relevant to us. So alhamdulillah, you know, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has, you know, helped us and He has accepted us to be in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now we are going to, inshallah, to the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Within Tanshaf Umrah, we are there, we're going to stay for a few days, and also there will be some classes and learning, inshallah. Try to understand, you know, what these cities are and why Hajj and Umrah, they are so important in this religion. So first thing actually is when Quran starts talking about Hajj and Umrah in Surah Al-Baqarah, first time, you know, the whole chapter of Hajj and Umrah, Quran starts with a verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. O believers, O those who believe, seek help with the prayer and with the sabr. The thing really is the life of the believers are summarized in two actions, salah and sabr. And the whole religion is just details of the salah and sabr. And Hajj and Umrah, they are training of the salah and sabr. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam has been made, has been chosen, you know, after long, because Ibrahim alayhi salam is first major messenger and prophet alayhi salam, who from very beginning, you know, have been thinking. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ibrahim alayhi salam that وَآتَيْنَاهُ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. We gave Ibrahim alayhi salam the wisdom from very childhood. So when he was a child, he was a thinker. He was not like other children to waste his time. You know, all the time thinking, understanding properly. Grown up in a family, but he's able to think different from them. Because when you grow up in a family, among a people, then you never think really, you know, why people doing something. But just it's a habit. So like for example, people who have grown up in Indian subcontinent, they see everybody going, you know, for the prayer, they have a hat, topi. So they grow up with this, they become, you know, learned people, they become doctors, engineers, they become alim, they become maulana, they become any. It remains all the life in that time that when you pray, you must have this hat. They never question really why we do this. Is it really Sunnah? Is it really from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? It never come. Even the people who are ulama, they're mashallah. And then after that, if somebody teaches them, they cannot accept. So what is the reason? Reason is because people don't think. People don't think differently. People don't question things. Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam's praise in the Quran is that he was able to think. Means his father used to make idols and worship them. Ibrahim could ask question, why these idols? Why do you worship them? How they benefit you? And he not only could question, he asked, he really raised a question. So that is why Quran says about Ibrahim Islam that he was given his wisdom from very beginning, from childhood, all the time thinking differently, asking the question and making effort to know the answer. And when he knows the answer, so first thing actually that I mentioned earlier, Ibrahim's first quality is this intellectual courage. Means he could raise a question. Second thing, once he gets the answer, he's not shy. Then he thinks it is his duty to teach people properly. Then after that, once he realized that his father and his people, when they worship the idols, they have done mistake. It is wrong, it is not right. Then he asks them, why are you doing this? They can't benefit you, they cannot harm you. They don't listen to you. Nothing. They don't listen to him. Then Ibrahim Islam wants to, do something bigger. To do deconditioning of their mind. So what he does, he just, long story, I don't want to go into detail. He goes and smashes all the idols. When Ibrahim smashes the idols, the purpose actually is not to humiliate them. The purpose is not to show that, Ibrahim does not care about the idols. This is not the purpose. Ibrahim's purpose, only purpose is, because since he has been teaching them gently, they could not understand. So now Ibrahim wants to demonstrate, see, I have been telling you that your idols don't benefit, don't harm, even they cannot protect themselves. So he smashed all of them. And when people came, they say, Ibrahim must have done this. Ibrahim wants to teach. They ask, they call Ibrahim. And when Ibrahim came and they ask him, أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ بِهَذَا هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا Ibrahim, O Ibrahim, have you done this with our gods? So Ibrahim has done anyway. Everybody knows. It is not Ibrahim going to lie. So Ibrahim, but Ibrahim's purpose to teach. Ibrahim said very calmly, nicely. All the people are against him. He's only one person. He says what? بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْتَقُونَ. The big idol, he is the one who has done. Ask them if they can speak. You see, that's what he wants to teach. He wants to teach, they even cannot speak. They cannot defend you. Then they have no answer. Ibrahim's purpose, you see, is thinking person. Then people worship, sun and moon and stars. And for each story, Ibrahim alayhi salam comes, appears with them, and says, yeah, this is my Lord. Those people become happy, they are around him. He wants to teach them. And then when the star disappears, moon disappears, and sun disappears, Ibrahim alayhi salam says that sentence, which really is amazing sentence in the history of the mankind. I always think after La ilaha illallah, there is no sentence more powerful than Ibrahim's sentence, La uhibbul afilin. He did not say, I don't love the sun and moon, but I don't worship because they disappear. No, he denies all of them. He said, I don't love those who disappear. This thinking, this really, it is not easy. This sentence only can come after long thinking, long reflection, thinking. He said anything, meaning is, when something disappears, it is dependent. So how I can worship something which is dependent itself? Why don't I go to someone who is not dependent? Sun depends, moon depends, stars depends, jobs depends, your farming depends. Money depends, position depends, wives depends, children depends, the king depends, everything depends. So why worship them? They come and go. They are there, then they die. I don't worship them. It's a really big sentence for Ibrahim Islam. And then it becomes clear, that in his people, after, can make the message so deeply, so properly, still they did not listen. So Ibrahim Islam, with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he leaves his people. Inni muhajirun ila rabbi. He leaves them. And then when he left, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him reward. Then he got from his wife Hajra, son Ismail. And then he got also from his wife Sarah, the son Ishaq. Two sons have been given. And then also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him good tidings. Then from Ishaq, you're going to have Yaqub. Amazing people. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, when his son Ismail had a little, born and just a young, infant child, and his wife Hajra is newly married with him. Allah SWT commands him to take the son and the wife to a land. And Allah SWT defined and just came and told him where the land is, where there's no population, no water, no food, no tree, nothing. And Ibrahim comes there. Ibrahim has no idea why there. And then Allah commands him, leave your wife and your son here. Ibrahim is thinking before Iman. Before Iman, he thinks and understands. After Iman, what is it? Surrenders. So understand clearly. Every question that you make is before believing. Think properly. Allah wants you to not think, understand. But once you know He's your Lord, then if He commands you anything, whether you understand, don't understand, you must do full submission. Now Ibrahim's new life is starting of submission. Before was Ibrahim's life of thinker, thinking prophet, Iman, Hanifiyah, turning away from everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now next stage of life is coming what? Full submission. Allah commanded to leave. Surrender. Ibrahim left. His wife Hajra is following him, asking, where are you leaving? Ibrahim wants to have the whole family as a people of submission. He did not answer. Second time she asked, he did not answer. Third time she said, you know, is it command of your Lord? Ibrahim wants his wife to think like him. She understand without answer. If Ibrahim tells her, yeah, it is my command of my Lord, then she's not going to learn. He wants her to think that Ibrahim, who loves his children so much, his wife so much, why is going to leave? Then no reason other than Allah's command. So when she said, is it Allah's command? Ibrahim said, yeah, it's Allah's command. Then she said, okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let us down. And then she remains there, and then, and then child is crying for water. Then she runs to the hills to find out the water from Safa to Marwa, from Marwa to Safa to child. 7 times it happened until the angels come and the water, gushing from the under feet of the Ismail. And then, she becomes so happy, water is there, then the birds come, then the people from, Banu Jurhum, they are passing by, they come and they ask permission to settle around her. It becomes like, a small population, people, now growing. And then after a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, now you go, you see how I looked after your family without water, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to do. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam comes and, child is grown up. Now, last final test for Ibrahim. After submission, then Allah said to Ibrahim, go and slaughter to your son in dream. But Ibrahim, full submission. If we see dream like that, we say, dreams have meaning. Dreams don't mean really go and slaughter. Dream mean full obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ibrahim take the dream literally. And Allah loves this from Ibrahim. Ibrahim was so intelligent, so clever. But in submission, he followed literally everything. In our time, what people do? The fiqhul maqasid. If Ibrahim was faqih of maqasid, what he should do? He said, no, everything has maqsad. Child is born for a maqsad, for a purpose. We should look after him. Sacrificing child means to devote him for the religion. But Ibrahim did not learn this faqh of maqasid. Ibrahim was full submission, literally following Allah's command. And Ibrahim also could say, dream does not mean to do now. It could be after 10 years, 20 years. Not today, but same day. But Ibrahim also wants his son to be with him. So he asked his son, Ismail, I've seen in my dream. What do you think? So do you think if Ibrahim's son said, oh, my father, don't kill me, he's not going to kill him? No, he's going to do anyway. But he wants Ismail also to have same belief. Ismail said, oh, my father, you do, what you have been commanded, you'll find me among sabirin. This really sabr, patience. So then Ibrahim alayhi salam does, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to him. So Ibrahim's actually life is this whole thing. Iman and then Islam, submission. And Ibrahim's Islam has got two main parts, Salah and Sabr. Sabr, you can see his life, leaving the wife, and wife has Sabr, the son has Sabr, and the main Sabr of the son is he's being slaughtered, and he says, you will find me among the Sabreen. And Salah of Ibrahim, how you can see? Allah commands Ibrahim to build the house. Ibrahim builds the house for the people who do prayer, and tawaf, and qiyam, and ruku, and sajda. When Ibrahim built the Kaaba, then he realized now he's going to be commanded to settle here. He knows very well. Then he made dua, oh Allah, make my family, part of my family, to settle here. So Ibrahim's family, basically, Ibrahim's family is an example for all the believers for both things, for Iman and Islam. And in Islam, his family is an example for what? For Salah, doing a relation with Allah, a deep, deep relation, not superficial relation. All the time just submission to him properly, ruku, sajda, tawaf, i'tikaf. Quran mentioned, build my house for the people who do tawaf, for those who do i'tikaf, for those who ruku and sajda and qiyam. What qiyam, ruku, sajda is? All that attending, standing in front of your Lord. Ibrahim alayhi salam has been commanded. So this is training of the salah. And the sabr is this struggle. A place where there's no water, no food, he can stay there for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That why we are commanded to do Hajj and Umrah. Why? To remember Ibrahim's sacrifices, to remember the story of the Sabr and Salah was established because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he followed the footsteps of his father Ibrahim, and he also does same thing in the Sabr and Salah. So basically Hajj and Umrah, they are training of what? Salah and Sabr. That's why the chapter starts, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. This whole chapter of the Hajj and Umrah is what? Salah and Sabr. Because it is just a submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and you can see, the believers don't care what they're wearing, you know, unsewn clothes. Nobody does like that, but the believers do like that. They don't, you know, they don't care about anything. And then, you know, before even coming there, you know, they make prayer, they keep saying, you know, part of submission. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik, inna alhamda wa ni'mata lak, wa la mulka la sharika lak. Why these sentences? To announce the submission. To make very clear, because submission is from heart, but when you say with the tongue, it really goes deep. So these sentences are for submission. Oh, my Lord, we are just, we listen to Ibrahim's call, and now we are here. Because, you know, labbaik means what? Labbaik, labbi means when you somebody calls you and you say, no, I'm here, I'm listening to you. So labbaik is one talbiyah, but labbaik means twice. Labbaik means I'm listening to you, I'm here, I'm present. And they say, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Not only labbaik, many labbaiks all the time. Why this come? Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he built the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make the Kaaba as a training center for the Sabr and Salah. So he said to Ibrahim, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ طَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. You know, announce for the Hajj, so people will come. So labbaik is to response of the call of Ibrahim. Ibrahim called people and now we say we are there. Ibrahim, you call and we are here. We're listening to you. So everybody from all over the world, they're basically coming to attend the call of Ibrahim al-Islam for turning at the Sabr al-Salah. So keep remembering this thing, that basically Hajj and Umrah are what? These visits, they are not tourism. They are not enjoyment. They are not to celebrate the, you know, bricks and the stones. They are not to see that how nice the building of the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how great the building of the Haram. It is not for that really. It is all suffering. It really, imagine really that in the time, you know, it's the thing when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go from Medina to Mecca. Did he go by coach, by plane, walking on the camel, many days. Sometimes there is water, sometimes there is no water. In so much struggle, so much suffering. That how they're going. And when Ibrahim's family settled there, you know how much suffering was there. You see, Hajra, she's looking for water. There was no water. And then how Allah looks after them? It is all turning of the suffering, and the sabr. Then you be patient. Don't complain. Meaning is, listen to your Lord, and whatever difficulty come in His path, don't complain. You know, be patient and expect reward from Him. Tell me what happened. I've seen really once I came for Hajj and with a group of people from England. Every single step, you know, people, you see how nice is the system in England, order and this and that, here, actually, all the time they complain, flies are here, you know. So if I was thinking really, this thing, you are here, but your mind is somewhere else. This place is not chosen because, you know, it is a place of easiness. This place actually has been chosen because it is difficult. So people don't come here to enjoy the life. People only come here, you know, if they love Ibrahim. If they love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if really they want to learn how to do submission, you don't come here for tourism. It is not a place for that. This place actually should be kept like that. When you come here, it should be ready for suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want believers to be lazy and just, you know, easy life. It is very bad for the believers. You know, wake up in the night, you know, prayer, you know, walking, you know, suffering, struggle, you know, you can say tiredness. No complaint, keep moving. You know, all the time, whatever time you've got, you know, tawaf, qiyam, ruku, sajda, that's how the life is. Do you see Ibrahim ever has rest? No. How much Ibrahim has traveled, can you imagine, on his feet? From Iraq, come to Syria, from Syria he goes to Egypt, from Egypt he's come to Makkah al-Mukarrama, then from Makkah he goes again to Syria, his two wives. To his wives, you know, we have people in England, they have two wives, maybe in the same house. Some people have two wives, but in their own house. They don't actually even afford to have a house. You know. But you know, Ibrahim's two wives are not in the same place. One is in Mecca and one is Syria. So take this thing. Ibrahim spent some time here, some time there. How long, how much he keeps moving? You know, all the time, he never stops. He never said, now I've reached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I did full submission, I should rest. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making imam to understand properly, Hajj and Umrah really are not tourism. It is not really, it is really this from your heart. When you say Labbaik, think properly that Ibrahim called me and I'm listening to him. And the call was for what? For training of the sabr. To be patient, I have patience. Don't complain. Tell me clearly when you protest in London. Isn't it complaint? Protest actually is complaint. Protest is from Shaitan. Protest not from Ibrahim never protested. Ibrahim's way has been, do what is best, and what if you don't get what you want, ask Allah. Ibrahim never asked people. Ibrahim's children ask people. Ibrahim's children beg people, give me peace. Ibrahim's children only ask peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim's children don't ask anybody else, don't beg to anybody. Ibrahim does not come to kings and ask him. Ibrahim never begged anybody. Ibrahim so we always have been inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa. I have directed my face to one who created the heaven and earth. Not, you know, who is the king of a small tiny country. No, the one who created the whole heaven and earth. Hanifan, and I turned to him from every single thing else. That's what Ibrahim did. And now Ibrahim's children, they want to protest. They want to make march. They want to make peace march. They want to beg for the peace. Think properly. Ibrahim's children are not for that, but Ibrahim's children are to listen to their Lord, and if difficulty comes, they have sabr. They are patient. And then the Lord rewards them. Ibrahim did not establish any kingdom or empire, no. But what Ibrahim established really is much, much bigger than kingdom empire. Like when Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmullah ta'ala, you know, somebody complained to the ruler of Syria that Ibn Taymiyyah is gathering his followers to take the kingdom from you. So he called Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmullah ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah said to the king, do you think I'm going to take your kingdom? Your kingdom and kingdom of all the Mongols is not equal to me even for one pence. Do you think I'm going to take this? Ibrahim, what Ibrahim has, it is a million times better than the kingdom of any king. Kingdom of Sulaiman, any kingdom. If you follow Ibrahim, what you get really is no king can get. You know, this is depth of the relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so deep, really, imagine. So when you're going to Umrah, it is not simple thing to call. It is really much, much deeper. Meaning is, now you want to establish relations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if difficulty or problem comes, don't complain to anybody. Full patience. Even somebody next to you should not feel that you have a problem. Nobody. Only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time remembering him and difficulty, but you know, you should be strong. Believer should be strong. You know, somebody has so many illness in his body. Every part of the body was defected. So many illness. And he used to say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. People ask him, you know, why you say Alhamdulillah? Why you think Allah? You have nothing actually sound in your body anyway. Everything has so much problem. So the person said, you know, he has given me a tongue which can thank. So I thank you for that. You know, think how much Allah has given you and you complain. If you become like that, people love you, people worship you. Ibrahim's way is, people become that way. You know, the way of the other people is, they you earn money and then with the money you buy things. Ibrahim's way is what? Ibrahim's way is, you don't have money, but you buy the free people. You don't buy slaves, you buy free people. If you follow Ibrahim, the free people, kings become your slaves. Ibrahim's way makes kings your slaves. And the way of the worldly people is what? To buy slaves. With the money you can buy slaves. And with following Ibrahim al-Islam, you can buy the free people. You can buy the kings. Ibrahim's way is very, very deep. Turn away from everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And keep saying, La uhibbu al-afilin. You know, labbayk, Allahumma labbayk, labbayk, la sharika laka labbayk, inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wa la mulka la sharika laka. All the time keep saying. So anyway, this is summary because we don't have much time. So keep that in mind. That Hajj and Umrah, they basically are much deeper. They are there only to teach you Salah and Sabr. And Salah and Sabr both are what? Companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah is with those who pray and Allah is with those who do Sabr. Why Allah did not say ma'al musallin? Because that's obvious anyway. Only Sabr and Sabirin need to have Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Otherwise the meaning is Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin wa ma'al musallin. Those who pray and those who do Sabr, Allah is with them. To seek help with that. So inshallah, we'll do the Umrah and I'll explain some fiqh of the Umrah as well. And if you have any question, you can ask. The way is that in a haram, you know, people when they go for Umrah, they have to put on a haram. And ihram starts with the mawaqit. Miqat actually are certain places. You know, before that or at that place, you must put on your ihram. Ihram means for the men, you know, unsewn cloth, two clothes, with the intention of, Umara, I'll mention how to make intention. So we men are not allowed to have any sewn cloth, anything which is sewn, and they should uncover the head. The head should not, never could be covered. And for the feet, you are, you know, kind of Hanafi madhab, which actually I prefer in this matter, because, you know, it is more caution, it is easy for us anyway. You know, you should uncover three bones, three rising bones. So they should be uncovered when you do, you know, put on a sandal. So three bones are these two bones, this ankle one, this one, and this in the middle, the rising bone. These three bones should be uncovered. Is it clear to everybody? So now we don't need to tell you which sandal you have to go by. You know yourself, you know, just, you know, have think properly. You don't need, and somebody comes and take your finger and hold your hand to say this, buy this one. No, you decide. Allah the way to instruct his slaves, and then they do decide. So anything that can, you know, wherever, anything you can buy, which where these two and this bone, three are uncovered, that's fine. Anything like that. So that's what you need to do. For the women, they will remain in their normal clothes. They don't need to have any new clothes. But what they need, if some people are having niqab or covering the face, they should uncover the face. So women's ihram is in the... Women's ihram in the face. We advise people, for the men, for the women, it is easy. For the men, we advise because, you know, if you go to miqat, and then you start opening your suitcase and this and that, little lot of time. The best thing really, come after dhuhr prayer, put on both sheet, both, you know, and put your clothes in the suitcase, then you don't need to, in miqat, to take off all those. The best thing really is, put your sandal from here, and your clothes of ihram from here. Don't make intention, that's what you do. And then after we leave, we come to Dhul Hulaifa. Dhul Hulaifa is the miqat of the people of Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ has made miqat for everybody, for every place. So for Iraq, the miqat is that irq. You know, for Sham, miqat is Juhfa. For people of Yemen and those who come from that, miqat is Yalamlam. So for every place, he makes miqat. The miqat of the people of Medina is Dhul Hulaifa. Now it is called for a long time Abiyaru Ali. So there used to be some wells that people named Abiyaru Ali. So it be Abiyaru Ali or Dhul Hulaifa. There is now a masjid and there are a lot of you know, bathrooms. You can have shower. So when we arrive there, you can go there and have shower. Put on. Since we are living after Dhuhr prayer, so it is better here. Though we combine between Dhuhr and Asr, even when we travel, so I'll advise people, don't pray Asr here. Because you know, after Asr prayer, you know, any nafl prayer is makruh. So what we, and it is good to start with ihram with a prayer, two rak'ah prayer. So I'll advise, pray your Dhuhr prayer and nothing else. And then when we arrive there in Dhul Hulaifa, there we can pray in jama'ah, our own jama'ah, two rak'ah asr. And after asr prayer, then we make intention for ihram. Is it clear? So before ihram, before intention, you can use soap, you can use perfume, you can use anything. As soon as we have done two rak'ah prayer and after the salam, we'll make intention. So you will say in, you know, Allahumma inni uridul umrata, you know, I want to do umrah, fayassirha li wa taqabbalha minni. Oh Allah, you know, you can't say in English language, oh Allah, I have intention to do umrah, so make easier for me and accept from me. I mentioned yesterday, the niyyah is always in Islam from the heart, no doubt about that. So this is not actually niyyah. What actually happening is, in Hajj and Umrah, we want every single part of the body to confirm what we're doing. The body is confirming by cloth, you know, the heart is confirming, mind is thinking, and also tongue. Tongue should say that, you know, I'm going for Hajj and Umrah. The, you know, everybody know, declare this, and say labbaik loudly. All the people around you know. That is why it is very important to declare it from your tongue. So people should say with the tongue. So it is not because of intention. It is basically to everybody know that you are not, because in the past, when people know that somebody is in ihram, they would not attack the person. They would be thinking, you know, it's safe. So this actually was declaration. So that's why in the Hajj and Umrah, okay, listen, you know, there will be, inshallah, time for question, because, you know, people need to mic and all those. So, sorry? Or because. So Allahumma inni uridul umrata, or you can say, inni uridul umrata lillah, or Allahumma inni uridul umrah, fayassirha li, وَتَقَبَّلْهَا مِنِّي. Oh Allah, I want Umrah, so make it easy for me and accept it from me. Inshallah, when we are there, somebody will say, and I will repeat. Once you said this, Then immediately say, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik, La Sharika Laka Labbaik, Inna Alhamda Wa Ni'mata Lak, Wa La Mulka La Sharika Lak. Once you said these words, now you are muhrim. Now you cannot apply any perfume, you know, and you cannot, men cannot wear any sewn cloth, and men and women, they cannot have any relation, you know, and desire of the sex, you know, it's all forbidden from that time until people come out from the ihram. And all the time keep saying labbaik, especially when you see other people in ihram, say labbaik loud, you know, make it clear. If it's little loud, not very loud, but should be listened by other people. They know you are in ihram. And whenever, you know, you climbing hill, say labbaik. When you're coming down, say labbaik. All the time, basically as much as possible. Actually, some people in the coach should keep repeating, like, you know, Abdul Hakim should say Ibrahim. Some people in the front, they keep saying out loud, so everybody can follow them. People don't sleep, you know, make people awake. So keep saying, like, this actually, Allah wants to listen to this. This actually is, you know, people make clearly. So women also say, women don't need to say very loudly, but also they should say, you know, pronounce the words labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, properly. Two sheets, let me show how to put on. Where the sheet? This is, okay. It is very easy, it's not very difficult, but for the people who are coming for the first time. So, you know, what happens is, one you make, you know, like a lower one, so like that, just basically easy, just, you know, put here, and then, you know, just make it like that. So you see, it holding itself, nothing too difficult, making sure. And the second one, just put on like that, usually. But when we come to haram, we need to, what we say is tiba'a. Is tiba'a is to put for, to uncover the right shoulder, and then put on the left one like that. You see this? I'm going to explain this for you. It's called istiba'a. Alif ghad, qa ba alif ayn. Istiba'un. Because it goes from the dabu, from the side. So what happens, you put on ihram, as I explained to you, and keep saying labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, until you come to Makkah al-Mukarramah. When you see the Kaaba, then don't say labbaik now. Because labbaik basically is saying that I'm coming to you, but now you have come anyway to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you don't need to say labbaik, what do you need to say? Dhikr now. Now you have to remember him. Because labbaik was that I'm coming, Ibrahim said adhan, and now you respond to adhan. So when you arrive there, you don't need to say same thing again. Just thinking there. You know, it is not, sometimes some people, what they always, you know, keep following the same way in Islam, all the time keep thinking. Now labbaik ends as soon as you are in the haram. Now say subhanallah wa alhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa allahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim, and you know many tasbihat. The hadith, when you see the Kaaba first time, whatever you ask, it is accepted. Any dua you make first time, accepted. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah was very clever. So he first time when he came and he saw the Kaaba, so he made dua, oh Allah, whatever I ask you during my stay in Makkah, I accept it. So now he make one dua, includes every single thing. So he said, oh Allah, whatever I ask, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he just want to, you ask anything, he can give you. So you can make like that. I also used to say similar, because, you know, I used so much impressed by Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala. Then I was thinking, really, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, much more wise than anybody else. You know, see what, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always used to ask taqwa, piety. Because, you know, once you have taqwa, then you have got everything anyway. Inna Allah ma'al muttaqeen, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. So I think really, when you see the Kaaba, ask Allah, oh Allah, make me muttaqi. If you become muttaqi, then everything with you anyway. Allah is with you, for success in this world with you, in hereafter with you, you know, provision comes from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps saying that, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Those who are muttaqi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, gives them from where they cannot imagine. And إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, Allah is with the people who are taqwa. Anyway, you can make any dua, you can make dua for Rabbi ja'alni muqima salah, or Allah make me to establish the prayer. Because once you establish the prayer, then Allah is with you anyway. So whatever, and also you can see many other things you can have, but it is bad for the believers just to ask a small thing, that, oh Allah, give me a wife or something like that, you know, a small thing, because that he gives anyway. You can ask also that, but ask a big thing, because once he loves you, then he can give you to anything. So, you know, don't ask a small thing. In that, you know, in like, you know, Tabligh Jamaat people say, buy the cow for milk, dung will come anyway. Don't buy the cow for the dung, that this cow has more dung, so I buy this cow. No, buy the cow which has more milk. So, you know, when you come there, this, and then no doubt we're going to start tawaf. Tawaf will start from the black stone. It is sunnah to kiss the stone and then start tawaf. And start tawaf goes right way. So you go, you move right side of the Kaaba. I don't like people when they say anti-clockwise, because you know it is a really negative term. You know, clock goes anti-tawaf, that we can say. But tawaf is not anti anything. Tawaf is the right direction. It is right, you go right direction, that's what it should be. I don't like these books when they write like that, very, very bad way. Simple thing is, you know, you take the right of Kaaba. Simple, that how is in Islam is, everything right. So you start from the black stone and you move on the right of the Kaaba, you know. So either you kiss, it is crowd, you cannot kiss, you can touch. If you cannot touch, so at least the person sometimes used to, touch with something else in his stick or something in his hand. If you cannot do anything at least at the moment, so at least point to it like that. I say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and then, right. And keep doing dhikr. Don't take photos and all those, because, you know, you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Urwan Zubair said, once Abdullah Umar was doing tawaf, I also was with him in tawaf. So I said to Abdullah Umar, I want to marry your daughter Sauda. So Abdullah Umar did not answer me, so I was disappointed that, you know, he did not listen, he did not actually accept my proposal. And then after Umrah, I came to Medina, so he met me somewhere. So he said, you know, you remember that you mentioned to me the name of my daughter Sauda when doing tawaf. But, you know, in tawaf, kunna natakhayrullaha ta'ala. In tawaf, we are seeing Allah. Allah was there. So I did not like to say anything. But if you still want to marry, then I can marry her. He said, yeah, my desire to marry her is as strong as possible. And then he called her, his daughter and few people, not in the big gathering, and he married immediately. So you see, natakhayrullaha ta'ala. In tawaf, you see Allah. It's very bad, really. You see yourself. You want to make your picture. In tawaf, believers should not see anybody else. You know, this photo, how long they will last? And what benefit they do, I don't understand, really. People make their own photo, they were doing tawaf. What memory is there, really? Isn't it enough for you that you do tawaf? Allah, make and just record you. Why you want to make your own photo? Make and just do this thing. If I just make photo, that's a more lasting and remaining all the time. Unnecessary, really, you know, wasting the time. Just, you know, keep doing tawaf and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, and remembering him and thinking properly, you know, house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, actually, among all the things in the Hajj and Umrah, the best thing I like is tawaf, really. Tawaf is so nice. So, you know, so first, when you go to the corners of the, of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba, the four corners. So one is, where you start, that is Ar-Rukn al-Yamani and where Hajar al-Aswad is. Then you go and that is Ar-Rukn al-Iraqi. Then you have Ar-Rukn al-Shami. Then you have, again, Ar-Rukn al-Yamani. There are two Rukn there, Yamani. Both Rukn al-Yamani, they are on the foundation of Ibrahim. Other two Rukn al-Iraqi and Shami, they are not on foundation of Ibrahim. Actually, foundation of Ibrahim was a little bit more. But Quraysh did not have enough money, so they basically built Kaaba less than what it was. So that why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he did tawaf, he only kissed two Rukn, Yamani one. So when you kiss or you do istilam, istilam means touching or kissing, pointing. So when you start from the black stone, that Rukn al-Yamani, then you come to Rukn al-Iraqi, then you come to Rukn al-Shami, then again you come to another Rukn, that's a Rukn al-Yamani. There you also should do istilam like that. And then you come to this Rukn al-Yamani, where Hajar black stone is. Both are Rukn al-Yamani. Here, your one shot is complete. Now again, you know, you raise hand and the second shot. Same shot you do. In the first three shots, the men, they do what is Tiba' and Ramal. Meaning is, you uncover your right shoulder in the first three one. And then you move, Ramal means you move like a brave people, like fighters. Reason is when the Prophet came for Umratul Qada and Quraysh were on the mountain, so they say, oh, these people, you know, the weather of Medina has made them very weak. So when the Prophet realized, then he said, walk like, fighters, the proper, so that becomes Sunnah. So now it is Sunnah to walk like that, moving your chest properly, like people do marching in the army. So similar should be in the first three shows. And then after that, you don't need to Ramal. Ramal is only in the first three shows. And then you're seven. After seventh, you do two rak'ah prayer in the Haram anywhere. It is better to do near Maqam Ibrahim. So there is a place in Haram, it is framed with a glass, and there is footstep of Ibrahim al-Islam. But anyway, this is called Maqam. Actually, to me, Maqam Ibrahim is the whole Kaaba, the whole area around that. But anyway, many people think this is the Maqam Istishah Ibrahim. It is better to do two raka around that area, two raka prayer, make dua also, then come and drink water of Zamzam. Then after that, you go and do sa'i. And sa'i will start from Safa, because the Prophet said, Ibda'u bima bada abhi Allah ta'ala. Start from where Allah started. So from Safa to Marwa, one shout. From Marwa to Safa, two. This is how it happened. So 7 times. Meaning basically is that you start from Safa, and last one will be in Marwa. Ending will be in Marwa. When men are walking, so there are a place called between two green signs, Milan al-Akhdarain. It is very much marked, green area. So when men come there, they have to run faster, walk faster, you can say, like running. Reason is because Safa and Marwa both were hill. So when Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anha, she used to run, so she could see her child as well. But when she comes to the this place, it was like basically valley, so she could not see her child. So there she used to run. As long as she is on Safa, so she can walk and she also could see Ismail. So she's fine. But when she come down, she could not see Ismail. So she's now running. So people say in Islam, women don't have any position. Actually, Safa and Marwa is a memory of women, nothing else. Safa Marwa is, Ibrahim did not walk on Safa and Marwa. Ismail did not walk on Safa and Marwa. Safa Marwa is just actually memory of a woman. She was running between these two mountains 7 times, and it became part of the ritual. So anyway, the men have to walk there faster. They walk faster everywhere, but they're like running. Is it clear? So when you go to Marwa, you run there, and when you come from Marwa to Safa, same thing in that place. Is it clear? I mentioned that the reason is because when she was looking for the water, so Ismail was lying, and when she came to Safa, so she could look water, and she also could see Ismail there lying. But when she's coming down, now she cannot see Ismail, so she's running to Marwa, so she also can be able to see Ismail. So that place she was running. So that why running has become their sunnah. Though it is sunnah for women, but somehow it is not sunnah for the women. Now women don't run. Women only walk on their normal speed. Men have to run. Men have to copy the woman running. Women have to become, their normal speed. That's how the sunnah in this place is. Once you have done the 7th shout, then for the men, it is better to shave their head properly. If you cannot shave, then you can shorten the hair. And in Hanafi madhab, it is better to do shortening or shaving for the most of the hair, most of the head. That in Hanafi madhab, otherwise in some madhahib, they allow any part of, like Imam Shafi allowed few hair, that also can be done. For the women, the sunnah is to shorten the hair, because for the women the hair is beauty. So just if you shorten some hair, something from their long hairs, that's fine. They cut with the scissors something. So that after you have done this, then you are free of ihram. You can have come in your bath, you can come in normal clothes. And then after that, do as many tawaf as you like. Now you don't need to do any umrah. If some people want to do umrah, it's allowed. You can go to miqat and hill. Hill is that area. If people want to do ihram, they can go there. And nearest one is Masjid of Aisha radiallahu anha, because she did ihram from there. So many buses and taxis, they keep going there. You can go there, put on ihram, come back again, do another umrah. So as long as there, you can do many umrah. Though we don't know any sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he in the same journey he did more than one umrah. So I personally prefer do as many tawaf as possible. Tawaf you cannot do anywhere in the world. That is the only place where you can do tawaf. And when you stay there, all the time keep remembering Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sacrifices, and think really that Allah is there. It's Allah's house, and think really that I have come to learn how to pray, and I have come to learn how to be patient. Don't complain anything. Complaining is very, Allah SWT never likes any complaint. That's why Allah loves Yaqub alayhi salam, because Yaqub said, Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. His son has been taken away from him. So much patience. He said, I only complain my grief to who? To Allah. Yaqub never complained to anybody else. He never actually angry with the children. You see, he knows that they're lying. But still, you can see he behaves with them nice, lives with them, in the same people in the house. So much sabr for Yaqub alayhi salam. We have to learn the sabr in this journey. I think I should stop here, inshallah. And if you have question, please ask.
Just when Brother Slav finishes, raise your hand and I'll bring you the script. When we say labik, Allahumma labik, can it be said in unison? Oh, I've heard that's not allowed, where everyone says it together.
No, it can be allowed. Sometimes people can remind. You know, many don't make any habit, because it compels you to go to the old jama'ah anyway. So you can see on your own, you can see with the jama'ah, but don't make anything, you know. Jama'ah is one thing, it reminds. So sometimes they should say to people awake, and then everybody says. Then when again starts sleeping, then somebody else again starts saying, to by doing again, people awake. Keep awake, otherwise people forget. But don't make anything habit.
Assalamu alaikum. I wanted to ask that when you go to Dhul Halaifa, we will do Salatul Asr, 2 rak'ah.
Yeah.
And then after that, the Niyyah. There's no reason to do any additional, or before the Asr, any special 2 rak'ah or nafil.
No, because the thing is, ihram should be done after any prayer. It's fard prayer, or if there's no fard prayer, then nafil prayer. So once we're going to do fard anyway, so what will happen? So we can say that everybody waits there, once everybody has done wudu, we do prayer together, and we make ihram together and come out. Otherwise, you know, it will take so long time if everybody do themselves. You know, it takes time. We have to be quick, you know, we can reach to Makkah al-Mukarramah earlier. They can do the tawaf and sa'i quickly, and then can sleep in the night.
JazakAllah khair. I actually have a number of questions, but I know I'm restricted to one, otherwise I'll be thrown out, inshallah. I just wanted to ask this one. When we do the tawaf, we should be in a state of wudu, because it's an act of ibadah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it. Yeah.
So I just wondered, what if after, I don't know, 3 tawaf, my wudu breaks, you know, for whatever reason, need to go re-perform the do I restart my tawaf again, or do I start from where I left off?
Yeah, this is a good question. I should have mentioned this. So any tawaf is like prayer. So tawaf should be done as we pray. It means major, and you know, should be pure from any major or minor impurity. So ghusl and wudu properly. And if your wudu is broken in the middle of tawaf, go do wudu and start from where you left. You don't need to repeat everything. Like you had 3 shots, in third shot you were near Rukna al-Iraqi, so go and come back and start from there. You don't need, you actually, tawaf is not obligated to done in one go. You can do in one week, one shot in one day, second day. Tawaf does not need to be done in the same, but as long as you don't do tawaf, you remain in a haram. But tawaf is not necessary to be done in the same go, so this understand. For the women, there's problem, sometimes women, you know, there are monthly cycles, so they can do ihram from here. They should do ihram. They should have bath for ihram. You know, that bath is only for ihram. And if they are not pure, they should arrive there. They should do dhikr. They can go to Safa and Marwa and see the Kaaba. Because seeing the Kaaba itself is ibadah, and Safa and Marwa is out of haram. So you can see, they can sit there and see the Kaaba. Once they are pure, then they have bath and they do tawaf. And after that, they can do sa'i. Sa'i does not need purity anyway. So after that, if a woman, when she did tawaf, she was pure. And after tawaf, her cycle starts. There's no harm. Still, she can do sa'i. Sa'i does not need any purity. Sa'i does not need wudu. Sa'i does not need any purity. Because, you know, these days, you know, our return flights, they are booked. If it is actually happens that women's, you know, cycle starts when we arrive Makkah, and until we are there, it's still there. You know, and what we can do, we cannot delay the flights. So then the solution basically is they should tie the clothes around, you know, their place and properly, and then do tawaf, making sure there's no impurity in the haram, and then they offer a blood. And that actually sacrifice will be like a sacrifice of a camel, major, you know, animal, and that will be done. So that is a ruling for the women. Any other question?
Sheikh, when starting the tawaf, is there just 1 takbir or 2 takbirs? Mufti Shafi Saab, he mentions in his kitab, it's 2 takbirs. So one is takbir tahrima, and the second is the istilam.
No, there's nothing two, nothing. There's just this is bismillah. It's sunnah. If you don't do that, it's nothing happen. It's not like the takbir tahrima of the prayer. In prayer, if you don't say Allahu Akbar, prayer is not valid. In tawaf, this is not obligatory. It's just sunnah. You say bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and just move on. Nothing once. It is not actually takbir tahrim, it's not salah. It is only one, it's basically Islam, nothing else. It is just for Islam. There is nothing two, it is only one. It is sunnah, it's not obligatory, it's not wajib. In the salah, takbir tahrim is wajib, the fard. In the prayer, in the tawaf, it's not wajib. It just, if you don't say anything, it's still fine.
As-salamu Assalamualaikum. Is there any significance of the seven circuits? Someone told me to ask. Is there a significance to the number?
Oh, number. Number actually are very important, understand the, as a measure really is that one number is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second is completion for human be- for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two numbers make completion. And if you made the third one in the middle, so it is more complete, because then you have one and two and something in the middle. Because something in the middle, it actually is connected with both. It is more complete. Then you add one more, it becomes two pairs. It is even more complete, to four. And if you make something in the middle, to two or two and then one middle, five, it is more complete. Then you can see the prayer time the prayer five times. Okay, more complete. But rakah the prayer is not five. Rakah the prayer is either two or three or four. So you can see prayer actually resembles all the completion. First complete number is two, second complete number is three, the third complete number is fourth, and after that is five. It goes to all those. In other than prayer, what happens is the completion of goes beyond the five, and beyond five, what happens? You add one more, six. But six, since having something in the middle always is more complete, so that why you can see in many things in Islam, seven number is important. Because seven number basically means you have got six, a complete number, and then something in the middle which makes it more complete. So that happens many things. And also what happens when you have seven, it also gives you impression it is not complete. It needs one more. So you keep doing more and more. So you do one tawaf, it's not complete. Do again, more, second tawaf, third tawaf, fourth tawaf. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ibadah to be done more and more, He makes them odd number. After completion, odd number. So five times a prayer, then you think, oh, it's five is not complete. Let me do more nafla, more sunnah, more prayer. So he wants you to get sense of completion, but also sense of incompletion. So inshallah, about the numbers, I will teach inshallah sometime when I teach about the prayers, because I want to, one day I will teach about the what prayers that we are. So I'll teach about numbers inshallah properly here.
It's just a quick question. I don't think I quite caught what you said. But is it each time you're passing the black stone, you raise your hands and say Allahu Akbar?
Yes, Salaam. But it is not not obligatory. It is sunnah. It is mustahab, okay. Recommended, but not obligatory. And if you don't do anything, nothing happens.
And the corner before that, I can't remember the name. Do you also?
You also do istilam there.
You also raise your hands and say Allah.
Two rukun only have istilam, because both ruknas had all four pillars been on the foundation of Ibrahim, then the Prophet would have done istilam of all four. Since two of them are not his foundation, so no point to touch, it's just wall. So he was touching the corner of Ibrahim. So he only touched the two corners, not the other two.
I think, just want to add on this, there are lights, I think blue or green lights. So if you can imagine, this is the Kaaba, so if this is where the black stone is, and this would be the other Rukun Yamani. And so there's lights kind of hitting like this. So even if you can't see the black stone, it's quite difficult to see, to be honest. Just follow the lights, it's like laser beam light. So that will make
it easy. You will see when the people come to the black stone, people slow down. You can see really. That's the place where everybody slow down. Because everybody is stopping there. You can inshallah see there.
Sheikh, you mentioned about the istislam on the Rukun Yamani before the black stone.
Yeah.
And you said that you can even kiss this corner as well.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was here on Umrah previously, there was a man with a big beard who had chosen to stand there. And when everyone was kissing that corner before the black stone, he was basically telling them off and shouting at them. And
no, not that. I think other corners, not that corner.
Not that corner.
I don't think it was that the corner. One. People do Islam anyway. That I remember. People do touch and kiss.
Because people were doing this, and he was saying no, and he seemed to think this was they thought it was the black stone or something, or so. You've not heard of this?
I don't know if somebody doing like that. But anyway, what I know is Islam is for both rukun.
Yes, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Sheikh, what are the best places to make dua around the Kaaba? Is there any specific area?
Yeah, can do. Actually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is basically house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, especially like the gate, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to, hold part of the gate, that's called Multazam. and cry there and weep there, and you know, make like you hug your mom to say simple sacrifice. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala door, you know, Kaaba, you can say black stone. Black stone is like Allah's right hand in this world. Simple to understand. Black stone basically like Allah's right hand in this world. So you know, it is in the Kaaba. So you just want to hold it. You just want to touch it. You want to kiss it. You know, this is what happening to the Kaaba. The whole Kaaba, actually, any place people can kiss, people can because it's Allah's house. So that what the meaning is. But a simple thing, no doubt really, that we do this because Allah Subhanahu wa Taala allowed us. Otherwise, we worship Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. We're not worshiping the house. Worshiping Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. House is basically like our point of reference, you can say. But worshiping Allah of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, it is like Qibla. House is Qibla. So like Iqbal says, one of his poetic verses, Qibla ko ahal nazar, Qibla numa kehte hain. The people of thinking, they think Kaaba is not the Qibla. It actually guide to Qibla. Qibla is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. So when you are to Qibla, this is actually only guide to the Qibla is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. No doubt, he's the real Qibla.
Your brother Irfan asked a question earlier on. If Hatim was a part of the Kaaba, why can we not face it and pray Salah?
So you know the thing is the Hatim, since it has been from the time the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been out of the Kaaba, not in the Kaaba, so you must make effort to face the building, not the Hatim. Though it actually we believe that it's part of Kaaba, because that actually is always doubtful. Because since Allah Subhanahu wa Taala made this happen, so now Hatim is not part of the Kaaba anymore. Though it should be, so fuqaha don't allow just to face the Hatim. You have to face. If you are Hatim, face in a way you can face part of the Kaaba as well. Actually, the people say there is hikmah in keeping the Hatim like that. So most believers, they are not allowed to enter the Kaaba. Now because of Hatim, you can go in Hatim. It's like playing the Kaaba. So it for them it is free. But because since it has been left out, so now on its own it's not Kaaba. It was part of the Kaaba, but not anymore.
I was once told by an auntie that where the Kaaba is situated, straight above that is the Arsh of Allah. Is this true?
What of Allah?
Arsh of Allah.
Arsh of Allah.
Is this true?
Because I don't know. Because the thing is, Arsh of Allah is encompassed the whole universe. So anywhere you see above that Arsh of Allah, because wasi'a kursiyuhu samawati wal ard. So he's the kursi encompassed the whole universe. It is basically around every single thing. You can see the heaven, first heaven, second heaven. Al-Baytul Ma'mur. Yeah, there is a place which I just do tawaf. Yeah, that actually above the Kaaba, yeah. So it is like this Kaaba and another Kaaba. Their Kaaba is for angels, called Bayt al-Ma'mur. That is where angels do tawaf. It is people say, straight above that, yeah. Yeah, Bayt al-Ma'mur, yeah.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Is there any prayers after tawaf?
Sorry?
Is there any prayers after tawaf?
Yeah, they mentioned two rak'ah. It is wajib. After tawaf, you do two rak'ah prayer. It is wajib, yeah, it should be done. It is wajib. Two rak'ah prayer.
Anyone else who has not asked? Well,
sorry, before we repeat the people, is there anyone else?
I understand that. Okay, so
we've completed, so we'll give it to Brother Shahri first. He's got a mic right next to him. So I see if the women have any question. Yeah. Sorry, inshallah. While we're in a state of ihram, we know we can't put perfume on, cut our nails, and cut our hairs. So. I just wanted to ask, does that also mean that you can't cut anybody else's hair? So for example, I'm in Tawaf, I've finished my Umrah, it's now time to cut the hair, we need to have our hair shaved first. So what if the wife needs to come out of Ihram?
No, really, you cannot cut anybody's hair. You can cut, you are not allowed to hunt any animals or anything. But your own, you cannot cut, but somebody else, I don't think there's a problem. I don't think anybody said like that. Hunting animals or something like that, that's not allowed. Cutting any tree of the haram, that's not allowed. These things are not allowed. So, but if somebody else, because the company that they did, they shaved other people. Think really, if all the people were in ihram, so how they came out from ihram? Somebody shaved somebody else. And that could have happened when the Prophet came. So if you shave somebody else, that's fine.
Sheikh, can you explain
what's allowed regarding to certain things people sometimes use to keep up the ihram. So some people use the money belts to keep it on. Some people I've seen before, like people use a big safety pin for the top ones to keep that together. What's allowed and what's not allowed in terms of those things?
Yeah, actually the cloth should be unsewn, but something which is not part of the cloth, like your handbag, or like you say belt, and is allowed, or like your pins, because pins are not sewing. Pins basically helping you, that's fine. So pins are allowed, belts are allowed. If people have got some handbags and hanging, all these things are allowed, but not sewn cloth. The cloth, it should not be sewn, but something not part of the cloth, that's fine. That can allow. The belt always have been allowed, because it's from very beginning, because people used to have money. They can't live anywhere, and at that time people did not have hotel. If they leave money somewhere else, somebody will steal. So they used to have, you know, this belt. The belt actually came from long. They used to call it himyan. The himyan always have been allowed. You can have belt. Yeah, sometimes for some people it's very difficult to tie it properly. If you cannot tie, then you have belt. And if you come to Dhul Halifa, when Abi Ali, they're selling, you know, they sell these belts there. You can buy the belts there. You can buy belts here as well, you know, anywhere. So if some people cannot, you know, tie properly, then put on the belts, inshallah.
Are we allowed to wear watches and rings?
Sir?
Are we allowed to wear watches and rings?
Yeah, watch is fine, because it is something, it's not cloth. So that's allowed. Watch is fine, yeah.
Anyone else got questions?
A watch, a ring, things like that, they're fine.
Assalamu alaikum. Just, I think for those who are doing Umrah for the first time, I think there's one common problem they have is when they do tawaf, people forget on which number, you know, they are. Sometimes they forget what, you know, if they're on the second one or the third one, what should they do?
Yeah, that's very important. Make sure they don't forget, because it's very important. So, you know, count. Make like once you have done one, just, you know, put on one finger, put your hand on one finger, the second finger, third finger, you know, four, five, then, you know, make something, let us be something, take, you have to count. But anyway, if you forget, then we go to the least number. If you say we're sixth or seventh, to make it six. That way we allow to when this matter happens. If you think more likely seventh, then fine. If you don't think it, which one is more likely, then go for the least number. If doubt is between three and four, make it three, and then do the four and fifth and sixth, seventh. But you know, people should make effort really young, but that's what you're doing, which shot you are. Is it clear?
Any more questions?
The salah after the tawaf is wajib. Can you perform the salah after asr and after fajr?
No. Yeah, the salah actually should not be done in makruh time. So you have to wait. According to Hanafi madhab, salah never should be done after asr or after fajr prayer until sun rises properly in midday. All the time which is makruh, this salah should not be done. So if people have done tawaf and the makruh time comes, wait until the makruh time has gone, then you do your salah to rak'ah. But you can do sa'i, there's not problem, there's no problem. You can do salah later on. And this salah you do after every tawaf. You know, after you've done your umrah, you do tawaf, you do two rak'ah salah, then you do sa'i, the umrah finish. But after that, you can do as many tawaf you like, but after every tawaf, do two rak'ah prayer, after every tawaf.
Any more questions?
Some people, when they do tawaf, I remember once when I first came for Umrah, second time in Hajj, somebody said, oh, today I did 100 tawaf. So I said, oh, you did 100 tawaf? He goes, yeah. So he thought that one tawaf is just going one, not seven.
Yeah, one tawaf means seven shout, seven rounds. Understand? When we say one tawaf, it means seven rounds. To seven, and also understand, once you start tawaf, then completion becomes obligatory. Then you must do seven shout. You understand? It's not that you can leave in middle anywhere. Once you started, you must complete it. Not in the same go, maybe later on after that you want to go for lunch or dinner, but you have to do seven. Is it clear? So one tawaf means seven shout, seven rounds. And once you start, then it becomes obligatory to complete it. Simple thing. Same actually Hajj Umrah. When you start, then it becomes obligatory. وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. After starting, completion becomes obligatory. Other Umrah is just sunnah. But once you make ihram, intention, then completion of Umrah becomes obligatory. Once you start tawaf, Like any nafl prayer, if you start nafl prayer according to Hanafi madhab, then completing the nafl becomes obligatory. So similarly, when you start tawaf, completion becomes obligatory.
I'll just ask one question, Sheikh, if that's okay. With regards to when it's a fard salah during your tawaf, what should one do when a fard salah is in between your, say, fifth round? What should one do?
Follow the fard, do fard, and then after that you start your tawaf from where you left. You know, it will happen. You know, you start doing tawaf and then Maghrib prayer starts. Don't worry. Do Maghrib prayer and then after that, you start your tawaf from where you left. From where you are left. You know, that's very, very important to remember where you left. And then from there, you start.
Sure. question from earlier on that in Nafl tawaf, do you have to do Ramal and.
No, nothing. Do only first tawaf. Any tawaf after which there is no sa'i, there is no Ramal, no istiba. After that, normal cloth, nothing. It only for when you come for Umrah, for, you know, first tawaf, that will do. After that, no. After that, you just normal. It actually will normal cloth anyway.
Sheikh, would you kindly remind me of what the Hanafi position was regarding shaving the head?
Yeah, most of the hair should be most, or shorten most of them. Yeah.
Yes, Sheikh. You said an accepted dua is when you see the Kaaba first time. Mm-hmm. Is there any other point during our visit where dua is accepted, like perhaps from Sa'i or any other point?
The whole journey is actually Allah is there. Mm-hmm. In whole journey, He's looking at you. No doubt. It's actually whole journey basically very similar to the prayer. Understand? When you're in the prayer, Allah is turning to you. In whole journey, when you put a ihram, that why don't backbite, don't lie, don't complain. Allah's path, complaining Allah to someone else. The thing really, all the problem comes in the path of Allah and you're complaining Him. Nothing, basically all the time turning of the face should be Him. To laughing loudly, making jokes, you know, making unnecessary stories, commenting on the people, you know, laughing at the people, making with their bad names. Nothing should happen. Looking at each other badly, men should not look at the women with the desire, women should not look at the men with the desire. All should be, you know, firmly people should understand that they are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically, this whole thing is ibadah. Umrah from beginning until you finish, it is ibadah. Then your stay in Makkah al-Mukarramah is ibadah. In that city, sins are multiplied by many, many times, as good deeds are multiplied by many, many times. Understand, if you backbite there, the sin is not small. Sin is much, much bigger. If you lie there, it is much, much bigger. If you break a promise, sin is much, much bigger. In that place, be humble slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now from when we put on a haram, from until we are in Makkah al-Mukarramah, we always, you know, I forgot. And when we leave Makkah al-Mukarramah, before leaving, we should do Tawaf al-Wada'a. Tawaf al-Wada'a, last Tawaf. Because you know, the Prophet has said that last thing that you do in Makkah is see house of Allah. Go and do Tawaf. Like salam of house. And then, when we are about to leave, before that, people should have enough time. Should be reminded of what time they do tawaf. Go and do last tawaf, but don't leave it to last moment that everybody has to wait for you. You know, do in proper time when people announce you that what time you have to do tawaf. Do tawaf and then come back. For the women, if they are, you know, they are not pure, there's no tawaf ul wada for them. So they don't need to do tawaf. But if they are pure, then they should do also tawaf.
Jazakallah Sheikh. Can you just remind us what type of footwear is permissible, please? What type of footwear? Because there's been quite a lot of issues. What type of shoes, sandals?
Yeah. I mentioned this. You know, wear anything where your three bones remain uncovered. Two side one, yeah, like something like that. Simple.
Turn.
Yeah. Sure. This is what you need. The three bones, rising bones in the middle, and two side bones. That's what people need to uncover. Then you'll be safe. Then your Umrah will be cut every madhab.
This is not allowed.
It can cover, you know, your middle bone, yeah.
This
can cover.
We need more examples.
Yeah. Three bones are this one here, the front. I think you said your metatarsals.
Mashallah.
Right, and the two ankle bones, okay? Leather socks, no, you're not allowed to.
Nothing, no socks, nothing. It's uncovered.
I just wanted to know, Sheikh, if can you just run the penalties? So let's say, for example, I put on some attar, or, you know, I
accidentally may cut my nails, bite my nails. So what the sort of penalties
yeah,
are due for this?
I don't remember all the penalties by heart because there's so many complications. For something that is there sadaqah of one sa or like one fitra, for something more severe that they like one sheep sacrifice and major sacrifice actually is the camel. But it only happens three cases where major sacrifice come, or mostly one blood, means one sheep will be enough. And in many small cases, like somebody has covered their head for a longer period, there's some sadaqah or something like that. So for a small thing, sadaqah, and something bigger, we have a sheep, and then even bigger than that, then camel. I remember actually one when I came for Hajj, so I met somebody from Salaam. So he said, he offered a sacrifice of a camel. So I said, why what happened? Why did you do mistake? He said, by mistake, one of my hair was broken. Okay, hair broken by mistake, to what is sin there is. And for that he went and offered sacrifice of whole camel.
If you do manage to get a camel, let us know, inshallah, we'll have to help you with that.
Inshallah, because I think you have to go take you to that thing's slaughterhouse and all those sort of things. We had one person who had to do a sheep last year. So do contact Badr Abu Kawthar if you need to, sacrifice an animal.
Sheikh, from a previous Umrah, now you realize that you made a mistake, should we do the sacrifice now?
Yeah, sacrifice should be done in a haram to any time. If you prove you have done any major mistake which needs sacrifice, it should be done any time.